It is Friday, May 3rd. Let's talk PlayStation. Alright, Sony has finally told us what those May PlayStation Plus games are going to look like, and it is What Remains of Edith Finch and Overcooked. Certainly not bad games, but I really wish Sony would add a third game to the service finally. The value proposition just isn't there anymore. Ever since PS3 and Vita left, yes, the games are better, but it'd be nice to get a third game, right? It looks like that's not going to happen until PS5 comes along, where they'll probably add two more games. So two PS5 games, two PS4 games. But either way, these are going to be going up on the store May 7th, so keep that in mind. Now, for our first news story, The Last of Us Part 2. We talked a few weeks back about how this game was probably maybe going to be releasing this year, based on the fact that it was listed on Sony's website, part of a list of games that were coming out in 2019. So being on that list kind of raised some concerns there, and then it was removed, and that's why we all thought, okay, maybe this game does have a targeted window of 2019. Well, anyway, over on the Reset Era forums, there's a thread about Sony's Worldwide Studios and their developers. Well, anyway, one particular user in there by the name of Aokiji, in reference to Last of Us Part 2 coming out in 2019, said, "Considering we're getting an official The Last of Us Part 2 update before E3, it would be really weird if it wasn't 2019 now, wouldn't it? The only reason why we're mentioning this is because this particular user actually also leaked Sony's State of Play initiative, which was a very out-of-left-field announcement. Nobody really saw that coming, for Sony to do a direct-style video form where it's like 20 minutes and it gives game announcements and things like that. It's a good initiative, certainly, but the fact that they knew that prior to Sony announcing it means that they do have a credible source in the games industry, and so we could hopefully expect that we will get a Last of Us Part 2 update before E3. Maybe it will be another State of Play, considering that's the information that they had prior. And maybe that would be a thing where it'd be a small trailer, maybe an extended trailer, but I think it would be a situation where if we get that update and we get a new trailer, whether it's cinematic, more gameplay, what have you, but there's going to be a release date at the end of it, or maybe a release window where they would just say, you know, here it is, fall 2019, holiday 2019. The window might come first before we get that actual date, but again, Naughty Dog wants that confidence until they know they can hit that date, and we'll find out soon because before E3, so E3's already coming up on us pretty fast. So Days Gone, the Sony Ben game that could. Not gonna lie, been a very interesting week for this game because, you know, it comes out last week and the reviews are mixed to good. They weren't bad by any stretch of the imagination. There were maybe one or two websites that gave it an actual bad review calling it a bad game, but, you know, they were maybe no-name websites, but generally it was like mixed to good. Like, still saying it's a good game, just not fantastic or mind-blowing, not the next God of War, this, that, and the other. And, you know, usually gamers are very irrational, like they were when those reviews came out. But, you know, throughout the week, it's been kind of totally different. It seems like actually people that did go through with picking up the game, thoroughly enjoying it, having a great time, saying they didn't understand the reviews. Sure, this is more anecdotal than anything else because it's just from what I've been reading and whatnot, but it seems like across the board, I'm not really finding that many people saying like, oh yeah, I picked it up and yeah, I see the problems or it's generally not that great. I mean, sure, they may be running into the technical issues that were cited in the reviews, but those have actually been quickly eradicated through many patches, and that'll actually go into our news story about it, which is that there were some recent patches fixing a number of issues, but 1.06 was actually crashing some people's PS4s, so that was actually dialed back to 1.05, but now 1.07 should be live now. That actually has fixed most of those issues with the game, so that's good. But the other piece of news is that in the UK, the sales week starting April 22nd, Days Gone actually debuted number one at retail, beating out Mortal Kombat 11, so that's awesome to hear that people are thoroughly enjoying this game, despite what reviewers say. I wish this was more of a common theme in the games industry, and people weren't super irrational, but many people are saying it's because of the it's Sony's reputation with their first-party studios as to why they're giving this game the benefit of the doubt, following through with their purchase, and giving it a try. But either way, that's awesome. And, you know, you can tell that this was a passion project for Sony Bend. They put a lot of time into it. You can tell they want to explore this universe more, possibly do a sequel, maybe do another IP long-term in the future. But, you know, they're a big studio. They pumped out a pretty good game. And we don't want to see them go by any stretch. We don't want to see people lose their jobs. And hopefully we get another game out of the studio for sure. Looks like that might actually happen now. Now it's time for our weekly Death Stranding update, because it seems like every single week there's something to say about Death Stranding. And to be fair, like a month ago or something, I mentioned Hideo Kojima and Norman Reedus, they're going to be at the Tribeca Film Festival doing an hour-long panel. And we'll get some, you know, details out of there. Nothing major, but small tidbits of information. Well, that's what happened. Kojima reaffirming that this is an open-world game, doubling down on the connection aspect of the game. It's all about connection, being close to others. That's a big role still. We don't have any idea as to what that truly means until the game comes out. One really weird thing is that he mentioned how Norman Reedus' tattoos are in the game, and there was actually a point where Norman got another tattoo, and so Kojima had to scan him back into the game to add that new tattoo. And he even went further on to say that if Norman were to get another tattoo, even after the game ships, he would want to patch the game and add that in there. kind of just getting into the whole, like, scenario of how the main character is Sam. So he's not actually Norman Reedus, but he just wants the entirety of this man in the game and just wants that personality and characteristics to be completely reflected into the game. These two have a really close bond. You can tell, I mean, they've worked on this title for such a long time now. They're so buddy-buddy with each other. It's actually kind of fun to watch these two. They're really into each other. It's cool. And so, I don't know, it just seems like more of a very friendly aspect to Hideo and Norman, how they interact with each other. And then the other thing that happened outside of the festival was Kojima tweeting a new image of what appears to be possibly a new trailer tease for the game, so maybe we'll get a new trailer soon. I'm sure it will be just as bizarre and weird as the previous ones, and we won't actually find out what's going on. And, you know, when the game comes out, we won't know what's going on, so I think that's really a fair assessment at this point. Moving on, let's talk about this Grand Theft Auto 6 rumor that's been making the rounds this past week on websites. And I only mention this because it does have a Sony spin to it. It's not just a particular third-party news story. But over on Pastebin, one particular user posted a dump of the synopsis of the story. He was actually quoted as saying, "In the title, which will make you kind of a drug lord, you will start as a small-time guy in Liberty City doing odd chores and small-time thefts, and eventually work your way to Vice City, where you will join a famous gang. You will be tasked to look after business in Liberty City until you are brought back to Vice City and soon become the drug lord." So he's alleging that the game will take place in multiple cities, and it's going to be a much larger scope. The game is going to be heavily focused on online this time around. Makes sense, since GTA Online is a cash cow and produces a crap load of money. That's not to understate that there won't be a single-player experience or anything like that. Rockstar is very much so into narrative, so you can certainly expect that. I mean, that actually is what the rumor is telling you, is the synopsis of the single-player campaign. Now, the reason why I mention this is because it's on Pastebin, and if you remember, maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago, we talked about those PlayStation 5 rumors before the Wired.com article, and it was a Pastebin post. That's the thing about Pastebin, is that, sure, there's a lot of things that are wrong. I mean, there's a lot of things that are wrong on the internet, certainly, but that Pastebin post regarding PlayStation 5 actually wasn't that off base, because we got that Wired article like 2 weeks after, and it reaffirmed many PlayStation 5 rumors. So it just goes to show that when it comes to rumors in the games industry, it really is sometimes a straight 50-50 where it can totally be dead on. And I think that's why rumors are so speculative around in the games industry. And it happens in every industry, and, you know, with the tech industry, the automotive industry. I mean, it does. It really does happen everywhere. But it seems like in games, you can really find some pretty credible information in the weirdest places. And in that particular rumor about a month and a half ago about the PS5, there was one where it says GTA 6 was going to be a PlayStation 5 timed exclusive, in which Sony spent a crap load of money on, which they would have to, certainly, especially if it was only a month. I mean, you would have to think it would cost hundreds of millions of dollars to secure such a big title like Grand Theft Auto to be particularly exclusive on one platform. Even if it's only a month, that's what it would take for Rockstar to really allow something like that. And seeing something like that, initially I was like, yeah, it's too crazy, it's too outlandish, that's not going to happen. But then I thought, you know, well, actually, like 4 or 5 months back, we had that crazy rumor suggesting that Sony was talking to Rockstar Games about a buyout, a purchase, an acquisition. And of course, that was absolute bullshit. But it goes into the whole rumor mongering that we just talked about, which is that these rumors come from somewhere. Now, that initial source back then wasn't even much of a source. I think it was just murmurings of what was going around in terms of investors. So who knows how that really manifested itself. But maybe it is a thing where some sort of conversation is happening, not necessarily an acquisition, but maybe that actually taking place of timed exclusivity or marketing rights, things like that. I mean, that happened with Grand Theft Auto 5 initially when the game launched in 2013 on PlayStation 3, where Sony had marketing rights for the game. So anytime you saw a Grand Theft Auto 5 commercial, it would say, you know, PlayStation at the end, PS3 at the end, even though the game was available on Xbox 360, that's what marketing rights are. So maybe we'll have something like that again. Of course, it's a very good idea for Sony to get in bed with Rockstar in any sort of capacity, especially for a major game like Grand Theft Auto 6, and that would certainly kick off PS5 into a fantastic head start, but we wouldn't see GTA 6 until, good lord, probably 2022, like at the earliest, I'd have to imagine. Rockstar is only going to release the game until there's plenty of units of next-gen Xboxes and PS5s out there. The rumors are also alleging that we won't get this game on PS4 or Xbox One due to memory constraints. Can totally see that being a possibility, considering what the current rumor suggests in terms of scope. But we'll leave it there for now. It seems like, it sounds fantastic. I'm a huge Grand Theft Auto fan, so I'm on board for whatever Rockstar does, really, to be honest. It just seems like right now we've got too many rumors suggesting Sony and Rockstar Games are talking in some capacity. So we'll see if anything manifests out of that. Now moving on to Media Molecule's Dreams, recently released this past month. Looks like we're going to be getting an update for this game in May. Bunch of small quality of life updates, but certainly needed updates like new assets for creators to use, blocking users in the Dreamiverse, a raise in the level cap, things like that. Media Molecule also touched on the accessibility of the game. Now, if you've been playing it, you know that motion controls are required. I mean, you don't have to use PlayStation Move controllers, but in some way, shape, or form with the DualShock 4, you're using motion to move the cursor around, and it's a very tough learning curve, as evident from if you were there watching my live stream. I had a really tough time with it. I'm getting better with it, but it's really tough, especially because it's forced, so there's really no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You have to get used to it. You have to learn how to play the game that way and create with it. Well, anyway, Media Molecule had this to say. For us, accessibility is really important, and that includes accessibility for people who have difficulty using motion controls, so things like mouse and keyboard help with that. So yeah, anything can happen in regards to accessibility. For us, it's just a matter of prioritizing motion-free control that uses the PS4, and then later down the road, we can look into possible mouse and keyboard support. Now, I'll tell you, I'm on board for that. I mean, I'm getting better at the game the more I spend time with it, but I think I want to get to a point where I can use something else that doesn't require the motion. It's just too tough, and it requires such fine angles. And there is a button where it can kind of slow things down a little bit so you can, like, level the controller just right, but it's really tough. And I can see why it's so off-putting for so many people now that they are into the game and they're seeing that that's how it's played. But you can see that this game is going to be it's going to be so long form in terms of its life. You can definitely see this game coming out on PS5, having so many substantial updates over and over and over, and seeing this game develop into something that's really, I think, 10 times more magnificent than it is right now. And it just sucks that it's so early in its infancy. Media Molecule spent so much time working on this game. It comes out and you can tell I think this is a long haul project for sure. I just hope that it gets enough traction to where more and more people buy into it, and Media Molecule can keep this game profitable, and Sony, of course, wants to keep Media Molecule around. Now, many of you have probably already seen this news story, but over at BestBuy.com, if you order a PlayStation 4 Pro, you can get a PlayStation Classic for absolutely $0 free with your order. What does that tell you? Well, that retailers are really trying to offload this thing. I mean, what can we really say about the PS Classic? It was a total fail. Sony really dropped the ball with this thing. But honestly, as I sit more on this and I think more about it, it really frustrates me that, I don't know, I mean, you have to think about the people that were responsible for this thing. Like, Sony, you have to, like, what happened? How many people did Sony assign to this project? I mean, what was their budget? What was their time frame? What was their deadline? I mean, what happened? Why was this thing so bad? Like, why? You really have to wonder. Such a legacy device that jump-started this incredible platform that's gone on to make such a huge success in the games industry and has impacted so many lives and is now a multi-billion dollar division of Sony Corporation. It just doesn't make any sense. That, what did you do? Did you assign a few interns to this thing? It really doesn't add up. And so it's almost to the point where I really want to try and find contacts at Sony and just ask low-key, like, what happened? You know what I mean? Like, speak to me on anonymity. Tell me what happened. Why was this thing such a fail? I just want to know what went wrong. Because, you know, damn well, if Sony did this thing right, it would be completely sold out. No doubt about it. So if you didn't see my Tuesday video, we actually went over Sony's 2018 financial report. We go into the numbers, get a little more in-depth, so if you haven't seen that video yet, go check it out. But this is Let's Talk PlayStation, so real quick, we'll recap that news story. In the 2018 report, Sony mentions that they've shipped 96.8 million PS4s. That's units shipped, not sold just yet, but let's face it, Sony will sell those consoles eventually, and probably hit 100 million in a few months, which is pretty nuts. The gaming division actually made $2.81 billion in profit, which actually, for perspective, that's more than the entirety of the PS2's life cycle, which was $2.22 billion. That's kind of nuts to even try to comprehend, but it is true. That's unbelievable. Really is. But actually, in Sony's 2019 projections, they actually say that they're expecting less profit, primarily because they're investing into their next-generation console, which will be PlayStation 5. They also mentioned no next-gen machine will actually launch in the fiscal year of 2019. So for those that don't know their fiscal years, that's actually April 1st, 2019, all the way to March 30th, 2020. So at the very least, we know for a fact PlayStation 5 will not be ready in early 2020. That was kind of a given, but we'll probably expect the console late 2020. Sony also mentions PlayStation Now subscribers for the first time ever. We've never gotten a number in terms of how many PlayStation Now subscribers there are, but they finally put a number on it. It is 700,000, and the service grows 40% year over year, which good growth, but the number is so incredibly small that it really does show people are still pretty reluctant to hop onto the service and try it. But Sony's still very adamant about working with PlayStation Now and making it better. And easy to see why everybody's going into streaming and things like that. We've beaten the hell out of that topic. But yeah, that's pretty much a quick rundown of that report. Again, go check Tuesday's video if you want more in-depth details about their financials and what's really going on. Now, this next news story is pretty recent and spicy. AMD CEO Lisa Su is actually teasing their partnership with Sony on PlayStation 5. She was actually quoted as saying, "We are so honored and proud to be part of Sony's next generation PlayStation. This has been a really long-term partnership with them. We love gaming. We think gaming is a really good secular growth market. What we've done with Sony is really architect something for their application, for their special sauce. It's a great honor for us. We're really excited about what the next generation PlayStation will do and happy to be a part of it." I love how she said special sauce, because this is not the first time we've actually seen this like terminology get used in gaming. Kind of takes me back to like in 2013 when PS4 and X1 launched. And a lot of people were talking about Xbox One's ESRAM and how that was like the special sauce, the secret sauce hidden around. And I've heard of it a few other times, even a little further back. Like, I think back in the PS3 days, the RSX chip, cell processor of PS3, that was kind of like the special sauce and this and that. It's just funny how that kind of still lives on, and that's like the terminology we keep using here. But Lisa is surely referring to the fact that this chipset is highly customized for Sony, and that's not unheard of whatsoever. That's kind of the point. I mean, yes, these things are basically just x86 supercharged PCs nowadays, and I say supercharged loosely because they're still consoles. They're still going to release at a pretty affordable price, and that's why PC gamers are always talking about how, well, these things are still underpowered by today's standards, this and that. But you got to understand, it's always a price-to-performance ratio. That's the great thing about consoles, is that they're highly simplistic. They're high volume, low price, typically. That's the point of them. Very easy barrier of entry for many broad consumers that don't want to get too in-depth with PC gaming. But the real thing about this news story is that AMD is pretty much winning in every scenario possible, because they're providing the chipsets for essentially everything now. So they're going to say nice things about every partner that they work with. They have nothing to lose here. They've pretty much got this all in lockdown, more or less, because they're providing the chipsets for everybody, even Google Stadia. So they're doing just fine. Quite honestly, when it comes to the innards of PS5, I just want to see Mark Cerny talk about it. And I mean that in a sense of maybe 2 to 3 years after PlayStation 5 comes out, because that's what Mark really did after PlayStation 4 launched, is that he got a bit more in the mainstream of gaming, in the sense that he was so hidden away for so long. You know, he's been in the industry for such a long time with Cerny Games and collaborating on all these different first-party studios, and then finally trying to be the architect of PlayStation 4 and openly asking to be a part of the design process and whatnot for that console, and eventually being accepted. But he actually initially did PlayStation Vita. A lot of people don't know that as well, is that he architected PlayStation Vita. But Mark really got more into the limelight. And so once PlayStation 4 came out, he did a lot of open discussions about PS4 and his history in the games industry. And so it's to the point where once PS5 comes out, I want to see him do more panels. I want to see him talk for an hour and really tell us about the process of doing PlayStation 5 and what that was like, and his thought process. And he's a really fascinating dude to listen to, for sure. I'm sure PlayStation 5 does have a lot of special sauce in there, but I want to hear it from Mark Cerny. Now it's time for Let's Talk Plus, our weekly Let's Talk PlayStation giveaway. One of you could win a $10 PSN code. I'd like to congratulate another name that I'm not even going to attempt to say. Every single week, dude. Every week. I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. But I am going to keep giving away $10 codes. If you recognize that name, I surely hope you do. I'm going to be contacting you very soon via Twitter or email, so keep a lookout for that. If you would like to win a $10 PSN code, very simple. Follow the link down below to the Gleam website. Supporting the channel a number of ways can gain you an entry. The winner will be announced next week. Let me pay for your games. Those were all the news stories I want to talk about with you guys from this past week. Now, like I mentioned, that Tuesday video was on Sony financials, and we do get more in depth on those numbers, analyze them a little bit. And it really is crazy to see just how far Sony's come and how important PlayStation is to the company now. So definitely go check that out if you didn't see it just yet. Our upcoming Tuesday video, though, I actually know what it is finally, because I'm still working on it, but it will be done somewhat soon. A lot of you really enjoy the unboxing videos, especially the ones from eBay. So what we're doing on Tuesday is PlayStation 4 accessories from eBay that are like dirt cheap. And I'm talking so fucking cheap. Those, you know, Chinese manufactured ones and things like that take like a month to get to you. But it's interesting because we're going to review them, basically, see if it's worth it. And it was pretty interesting results, honestly. So that's coming out this Tuesday. And actually, if you are a Patreon supporter, that video is going to come out a little bit early for Patreon supporters, maybe 1 or 2 days earlier. I'm still editing it right now, but Patreon supporters will get that video early. Speaking of Patreon, if you're not a supporter just yet, head over to Patreon support because I'm finally doing a little exclusive Q&A, and it's great because I don't have that many Patreon supporters, so if you do submit a question, I can spend a lot of time on it and get a little more personable. As of right now, the current post on there to where people are submitting questions, I think there's like 7 or 8 questions on there, which is good. I'll try and make it like a 20-30 minute video, just get a little more in-depth and really talk my ears off, or talk your ears off, I should say, because that's pretty much all I do on this channel is just talk, and it's really easy for me sometimes because these videos are getting longer and longer nowadays, it seems. But if you're a Patreon supporter, go submit your question. If you're not just yet, any support's greatly appreciated. But as always, you don't have to. Any support on the channel is always greatly appreciated, as always. I think that's it. That concludes this week's episode of Let's Talk PlayStation. I'm Ryan Bedecky. Thank you all so much for talking with me, and I will see you all next Friday.